Mantra, Sacred Words of Power, Session 2, Seed Mantras.
There are some people who dearly want protection from some of the negative aspects of life or negative people that we all encounter in life, and there's a seed sound for this as well. The seed sound is doom, just like the gates of doom. I say it, doom, doom, doom. And again, the principle is feminine in nature, and she is called Durga, Durga. She's pictured riding a tiger or a lion with 100 arms, each with a weapon of destruction, a sword, a pike, a club, an arrow, so forth, with this beautifully radiant face. And to the seekers after truth, she is radiantly beautiful. And in your meditation, if you happen to see her, the tiger may come up and lick you on the face. But to those who would seek to harm seekers after truth, they see only the weapons, and she appears terrible. Her seed sound is doom, 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 doom. Durga invokes protection for that which is feared. Doom. A full mantra using doom for protection is Om Dum Durgaye Namaha. Om Dum Durgaye Namaha. Om Dum Durgaye Namaha. If Dum is the seed, Durga is the full manifestation of the power of the seed. So you can say Dum quietly and concentrate on protection from X or Y. But if you want to invoke more power, use the whole mantra. Om Dum Durgaye Namaha. Om Dum Durgaye Namaha. The most terrifying aspect of the feminine that exists in the Far Eastern pantheon is Kali. Oh, she's shown with a garland of skulls and tongues sticking out and, oh, this terrible visage. But really, it is destruction of negative ego. All of us have places within that want to resist all kinds of good things. They seem to be stubborn. Who knows where it comes from, but we all have these little pockets. And a good way to go after those is by invoking Kali. Her seed mantra is cream, cream, cream. So if you wanted to say, oh, Kali, come and destroy my negative parts so that I am purity itself, om cream, Kali Kaye Namaha, om cream, Kali Kaye Namaha. Om Cream Kali Kaye Namaha. You'll notice that this one is Om Cream Kali Kaye Namaha. And earlier I talked about Om Cream Kali Kaye Namaha. Let me make that distinction clear. Cream is the principle of attraction. You're attracting Kali. Cream is the principle of invocation. You're saying, Kali, do your stuff within. Of the two, cream is more dramatic, more instantaneously powerful. It can begin to work so powerfully that you find that you become a little agitated, or maybe your irritability grows. The Maharishi Mahesh Yogi made a wonderful statement. He said, the mind cannot conceive of stress and negativity leaving for no reason at all, because things don't happen for no reason at all, according to the mind. Therefore, as junk, garbage is leaving, the mind, if it does not see a reason, will invent one. So what this means in ordinary life is you can be saying, Om Kreem Kali Kaye Namaha. And then something that you take normally that would not bother you, all of a sudden makes you feel very irritable or irritated. That's just stuff leaving and your mind attaching it to something. Now this may happen with the Om Kreem Kali Kaye Namaha mantra. And if it does, I advise you to either switch to the Om Kleem Kali Kaye Namaha or give it a rest for a while and take it up later. Because this is a very sharp-pointed pneumatic air drill that you're taking to your own negativity. Of all of the anthropomorphized principles, Ganesha is probably the most popular, certainly among the kids. This is the elephant-headed god, a large belly, huge ears that fan, and a long trunk. And his seed sound is gum, just like chewing gum. Gum, gum, gum. And the aspect of Ganesha for which gum is the seed is for removing obstacles. Now this is very handy because it's non-specific. It can be an inner obstacle or an outer obstacle. It can be a condition as an obstacle. If you want to remove any obstacles to your success or achievement in any endeavor, gum is the seed, Ganapati is the principle, and the short, powerful mantra is, Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. Ganesha and Ganapati are two different names for the same principle. Gana means group in one context and power in another. As Ganesha, Esha means ruler. So it is ruler of power, Gana, Esha. Or ruler of the group, Gana, Esha. As Ganapati, Pati means spouse of. So it is either the spouse of power or the spouse of the group. Why is this important? Inside, we have a movable center. We are not really one person. We like to think we're one person, but we're one person with many parts. Let me give you an example. If you've ever known anyone that was smoking who wanted to quit smoking, you can immediately identify, I want to quit smoking. And then there's another part that says, but I want a cigarette. Now, which is who? Which is the person? In point of fact, they both are. And because there is no inner unity, there is a problem. There are multiple desire centers within. And what Ganesha does as the ruler of the group is unify these and provide inner unity. Gana, Esha, Gana, Pati. So by achieving a state of unity, we can do anything. So Ganesha begins to unify the disparate portions of consciousness and desires that subsist within, so that we can literally do what we want to do. So with that as a background, let me give you examples of where the Ganesha mantra was used. 17 years ago, a friend of mine was leaving a career as an Army non-commissioned officer and had taken all the courses to become a gemologist and had looked around to find a job and could not. And so he approached me and asked me, what can he do to eliminate any obstacles between he and the proper job? So I said, all right, for the next 5 days, I want you to do Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha as much as you can, from the time you awake in the morning to the time you go to sleep at night. Whenever you can bring your mind to it, chant Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. And he was very faithful. At the end of that time, we did a Ganesha ceremony, a puja. We talked about those ancient ceremonies that were done by those original spiritual geniuses. Well, I do a fair number of those ceremonies, and it was my joy to do one for him. After he had planted the seed and worked to achieve the fruit by his efforts, within 3 days, he had 5 offers of jobs as a gemologist. So we nodded to each other that once again, the efficacy and the power of mantra had been demonstrated to us. I had my own example in 1984. I moved to California, and through a series of odd incidences, I didn't have a job. And so I was reduced to temping, going to temporary agencies, which I was grateful for. But I thought, you know, I had better do something that I know from my own tool bag. So I began to use the mantra, Om Gam Gana Pataye Namaha. Now, I'm a fellow who dives into the pool with his clothes on. So I did this mantra constantly. I did it standing, sitting, eating, vacuuming, shopping for groceries, driving the car, getting up, going to bed, brushing my teeth. Constantly the mantra was going on. I went to a movie. All through the movie, Om Gam Gana Pataye Namaha is going on. I would sometimes wake up in the middle of the night and hear it going on inside. And if it wasn't, I would start, Om Gam Gana Pataye Namaha. About 2 weeks into my discipline of chanting the Ganesha mantra, the Ganapati mantra, I was called upon to do a ceremony down in Orange County, California, south of Los Angeles. I went there, did the ceremony, there were about 30 people, and afterwards, you're socializing, we had some food. And the inevitable question comes up, well, what do you do in the other part of your life? What do you do for a living? And so I revealed that I was between things. And the person said, really, what field do you have? And I had done management and marketing consulting. And so the woman said, well, our company needs a marketing consultant. Why don't you come and talk to us? And I said, what kind of industry are you in? She says, well, it's healthcare. And I said, I don't know anything about healthcare. Well, come and talk to us anyway. Well, I did. I interviewed a fellow who interviewed me for 10 minutes and said, well, you'll do fine. And I said, fine at what? And he said, well, we need someone to go out and make calls on businesses and get some information to them and then give them some information so that they will send us people who are sick or injured. So I said, street marketing, that's what, yes, that's what it is. And I said, fine. So I accepted the position. It was a temporary position to last for 3 months. I thought, this beats waiting by the phone from the temporary agency, why not? So I went out into the street, but the materials I had been given to work with were, frankly, just terrible. Plain manila file folders, Xeroxed materials inside. From my previous experience, I felt like this was amateur hour. So after the second day, in the evening, I outlined what I thought their materials should look like, a printed file folder, their brochure I redid, laid it out, and other materials as well. And the next morning, I brought it in, and I showed it to one of the doctors who was one of the owners. He looked at me and went completely quiet for a moment and said, meet me upstairs in the conference room in 15 minutes. I went up 15 minutes later, and there were the three doctors who were owners of the facilities, and the one that had spoken to me said, okay, give us your presentation. I did, on the spot. And he said, fine, leave the room for 5 minutes. I did. They called me back in and said, you're the new marketing director. Get your cards printed up and get this stuff printed as quickly as you can. Meanwhile, I'm still doing Om Gam Gana Pataye Namaha, and I'm not even halfway through the discipline yet. I'm doing it for 40 days. We'll talk about the 40-day discipline later. You find 40 days in many of the religions, whether it's Christ in the wilderness or Noah tossing on the seas, you find 40 days. And it's in the East also. So I'm chanting my mantra, Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha, and I have to put on a conference with a hospital for a group of businesses, and I'm working with their marketing director. She and I get along. She asks me, how much are they paying you, if you don't mind my asking? And I tell her, and it's not a great deal. She said, they're getting you cheap. At the conclusion of the conference, the doctor comes up to congratulate us on a job well done, and to my astonishment, she says, "You know, you're not paying this guy what he's worth, and if you're not careful, someone's going to hire him right away from you, make him an offer he can't refuse." He was very smooth, and he said, "Oh, we know it. We're going to take good care of him." And within 2 weeks, I had a 40% raise. I kept this position for 7 years. After 5 years, I turned them into a client as my consulting business grew, was well appreciated for my work. By saying this mantra, Om Gam Gana Pataye Damaha, I had removed obstacles between me and whatever was the appropriate employment for me. Now observe that I didn't just wait for a miracle to happen. When someone presented me with an opportunity, I followed it up. Because we never know how the mantra may work. It may present one thing to us and then another. So it doesn't mean that you should sit inside waiting for the phone to ring and your job to come. That's not what I did. But also be engaged in all of the other normal things one might do in looking for a job, as I did. The other thing that I want to say is that you can just say gum. You can sit quietly and concentrate. Gum, 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 gum. And work to remove whatever obstacles may exist, whether they're external, whether they're in somewhere in a belief system that you have, whether it's something buried in the subconscious mind, gum, 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 will ferret it out and release it. The next seed sound is for the principle of consciousness known as Shiva. Shiva literally is the consciousness of the universe, and we'll talk a great deal about that later in the many aspects of Shiva. But for now, know that the seed sound is how, and if you say that, you can feel the vibration throughout your whole body and moving up into your head. So that you begin to align the consciousness more and more into the upper regions of the head where expanded consciousness can manifest. The next seed sound is Hreem. 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 This is a seed sound which allows one to see through the illusion of this reality. You'll find it in both Vedic and Tibetan Buddhist practices. In Hinduism, it is the seed sound for two aspects, one masculine and one feminine. In the feminine, it's called Mahamaya, Mahamaya, or the great illusion. And they say if you meditate just on the seed sound, Hreem, 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 for a long time, you will see this reality, quote, as it is, closed quote, whatever that is. And apparently only the experience of itself can define it. Hreem is the seed sound for what we might call the sacred heart in Vedic Hinduism, a small 8-petal lotus located just below our heart, and 10 inches above the solar plexus. There, they say, a flame burns. But it is a flame that is not of this world. A flame from the transcendental Purusha, that great being of which we are a part, and beyond. I say beyond because, like a swan swimming upon the water, the swan does not get wet, and the flame is not altered by being in this world. Like the swan, it swims in this world, but it is not of this world. Now this creates a great problem, because as part of the principle that it created this entire universe, we can also manifest and create. What does this mean? Imagine a room in a large house. And in one room, some people reverently get together. They have a blue light bulb. They pray, they meditate, they chant. They screw the bulb in, and it lights up, and it's blue. And they know beyond doubt God is absolutely blue. Of course, in another room, there are a group of people that have a green light bulb. They also pray and meditate and chant. And with great sincerity, they also screw the light bulb in by their practices, and it lights up, and they know beyond doubt God is green. In yet another room, there's a group with a red bulb, and another room, people with a yellow bulb, and so forth. Eventually, they're going to meet in the hall. And when they do, there's going to be a terrible ruckus, because each of them have an absolute corner on the truth of things. They know that God is red, blue, yellow, green, whatever it is. They may be ready to create religious warfare, as it were, pluck out each other's eyes, peel each other's skin, not unlike the great religious wars that we have seen throughout history. And according to the Vedic teachings, they have committed the error of confusing the current with the bulb. That God is the current that animates all of the bulbs of all of the religions. And the animator within us is that flame within. That flame that burns in the sacred heart. That can literally give us whatever we want, put us in contact with our divinity. And so it is at once a source of great inspiration and knowledge, and a source of great confusion if we don't have understanding concerning its true nature. And so Hrim is the seed sound for that flame in the sacred heart. Tibetan Buddhists will show you a meditation where Hri, the same word without the M, is meditated upon, and you will eventually see a figure holding a sword, and it will be Manjushri, God of wisdom and discerning knowledge, discriminating intelligence. Whereas in Hinduism, you might see a being called Narayana, or a beautiful woman called Mahamaya, all from the same seed. And so understand that whatever is your approach to divinity, Hrim can make it manifest for you. The only caveat is, don't confuse the current with the bulb. Because of its spiritual potency, Hrim is often included in longer mantras as a method of gaining access to higher dimensions of truth. For instance, Hrim Shrim Klim Parameshwari Swaha, or Hrim Shrim Klim Mahalakshmiye Swaha, where not only do you want to attract the principle, not only do you want to unwrap the fruit of the principle, but you want to see it in the highest context beyond an apparent level of reality. And so the Hrim prefix as a seed sound exists in many, many mantras, where worldly goals are also attached to spiritual ones. Therefore, it is unusual to use the mantra Hrim simply by itself, but in the Sanskrit mantra construction, Hrim is an important building block because it ties the manifestation of the principle to the creative flame in the sacred heart. There's another set of seed sounds that have to do with chakras. Now, later we're going to talk a great deal about chakras, but for now, know that they are energy processing centers in something called a subtle body that interpenetrates the physical body. And these centers roughly correspond to the major nerve ganglia that are located along the back of the spine. The chakras present the map of sounds from which the Sanskrit alphabet itself is fashioned. And we'll talk about this, as I said, in more detail later. But for now, know that the six chakras located along the spine and the seventh at the top of the head represent the map of our spiritual development, and as such, contain great power which we can unleash and harness as we grow spiritually. So let's go over the seed sounds of the chakras, and we will relate them to other mantras later in our study of mantras. Beginning at the base of the spine, the root chakra, lum, lum, lum. And you meditate on this sound silently or out loud for some time, and you may find that a mystic fragrance, some have likened it to the smell of roses, seems to accompany you wherever you go. Moving up to the genital center, vum, vum, vum. Here is the seat of many of our appetites, sexual and otherwise. You may find that your patience increases as you meditate upon this syllable, or that you have greater control of your appetite. Those of you who struggle from time to time with diet and weight may get some relief by meditating on vum, vum, vum. Moving up to the center of the body, called the solar plexus, rum, rum, rum. This is a large chakra and contains a lot of healing energy, and you can sometimes balance stomach ailments or digestive problems if you meditate for a prolonged period of time on this syllable, rum, rum. Moving up to the heart center, yum, yum, yum. Now it is written in some of the scriptures that you may hear music or divine voices when this chakra opens. It becomes an opening into some of the higher, subtler realms, they say. And I would go back to the Bible where it says, if you hear spirits, test them. In the physical plane, diseases such as asthma, some lung disorders, can be alleviated by meditating upon yum, yum, yum. And at the throat, we have the fifth chakra, and the seed sound for that is hum, hum, hum. Now some, notably the Tibetans, will also pronounce this hum, hum, hum. Now I've used it both ways, and I can report to you that it seems to work for me at least either way I pronounce it, and I have mantras that pronounce it one way or the other. Illnesses of the throat can be positively affected, and some people have reported that languages become easier to learn by meditating upon hum, hum, hum. And now we move up to the forehead, the chakra located between the eyes, the sixth chakra, whose seed syllable is known to most of us, om, om, om. This seed sound is a prefix to most of the mantras that you will learn in this course or that you may encounter from other sources. Most of them will begin with om. There's a joke saying that comes from the East that whereas in Roman times all roads led to Rome, in a spiritual sense, all roads lead to om. For the first five chakras, notice that we have a similar kind of rhythm. Lum, vum, rum, yum, hum. And then it moves to om. At the sixth chakra, the pairs of opposites disappear. One exists as part of a unified whole of this universe. Such things as pain and pleasure, masculine, feminine, good and evil, are reported to disappear, and the universe becomes coherent to your understanding, and you see that all of it fits together into organic whole. Paramahamsa Yogananda, who founded the Self-Realization Fellowship, reported that some people had 360-degree vision when they reached this place. And so the unified world of nature appeared to them all around their head, and they could see it everywhere. There is another chakra called the Sahasrara chakra, located at the top of the head. If one is aware of one's individual consciousness as a unified whole at number 6, one pours the cup of one's consciousness into the ocean at the 7th. At this point, your consciousness enters the ocean of consciousness, and for a time, you may be at one, but not even aware of your separate existence. And then when you come out of this meditation, then once again you are aware, oh yes, I have a body. I exist as a separate individual. But at that point, you have poured your cup into the ocean of consciousness, and then when you come out, you dip it back in again. And they say that those who have experienced that are never the same when they come back into normal waking consciousness as before. At this point, we have moved beyond the principle of sound entirely. We are into a realm of consciousness that is beyond sound and into a realm called simply the mind. We'll discuss this a bit later when we take up the ancient debate between sound and mind as to which is greater. But know for now that when you move into the 7th chakra, you have left the entire phenomenological world behind and are in a realm that is beyond even the creative principle of sound. And that's why there is no seed sound for the 7th chakra. We've presented two different sets of seed sounds. One relate to principles which don't have any specific physical location within, but they are principles that can sprout and grow within as you say them. The other set of seed mantras had to do with the chakras and expanding the potential that may exist there. One of these seed sounds, or more than one, may somehow appeal to you in some way that's difficult to describe. If so, I would suggest beginning to meditate upon it. It can be om, 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 or it could be the principle of abundance, shreem, shreem, shreem. Later we'll build longer mantras that you can say using these seed sounds, but you can start right now unwrapping the power of the principles within by meditating upon the seed sound of your choice. Shreem, om, I'm, kleem. These seed sounds that we have just talked about are the building blocks of mantras that were chanted by those ancient rishis that went up out of the village onto the hill those many thousands of years ago and brought forth the mystical Sanskrit language. And among the many mantras they presented us are these small but powerful seed sounds that can unwrap within us tangible, usable power to solve problems in our daily life and to grow spiritually so that we realize within us that great principle of sound which has created this entire cosmos and even created the state of enlightenment to which we all aspire.